Hello and welcome to Home's first ever theatre podcast. Here at Home, we're excited by work that has a unique theatrical language, theatre that is ambitious, experimental, and usually asks more questions than it answers. We wanted to bring our listeners a podcast which introduces them to the pioneering and inspiring artists who populate our building, their careers, their trials, tribulations, and most importantly, their words of wisdom. Coming up next at Home is our first ever home-produced musical, Insane Animals by Bourgeois and Maurice, which opens next week on Thursday the 28th of February. Insane Animals was created through the Home T1 Commission, which invites brilliant artists and companies to scale up their ambitions, with a focus on makers who put music at the heart of their practice. So, for today's inaugural Home Theatre podcast, we're joined by some members of the Insane Animals company. We're recording from the control box of the T1 Theatre, so if you hear clanking, it's a special guest appearance from the Insane Animals set, which is being built in the background. But now I'm going to hand over to the team to introduce themselves.
Sure. Hello, my name's Lockie Chapman.
Hello, Lockie. I'm Liv.
How are you?
I'm Liv Morris. I'm one of the writers.
Hi, Liv.
Hi, Lockie. I'm George. Hi, Liv.
Hi, Lockie. I'm Philly McMahon. I'm the director of the piece.
Brilliant. Just effortless company synchronisation.
There you go.
So to give our listeners a little bit of context, can you tell us what is Insane Animals all about?
I feel that's an answer for the director to give.
As writers, we absolutely have no idea.
We're the worst people to ask. We go off on a 10-minute monologue about the ideas. Billy?
Well, for me, Insane Animals is a brand new musical. It's premiering here at Home. And Liv and George, who are sitting here beside me, they've taken the Epic of Gilgamesh, the oldest text that was written down, as their source material to talk about, predominantly about mortality, really, and our obsession with staying young and staying alive. And I suppose as the planet is kind of turning and burning, it's just about that kind of tension between the kind of humans causing mass decay and their own ambition to survive, I would say, with glitter.
Yeah,
that's
important.
Great, lovely. And how is this different to a traditional musical? What do you guys think sets it apart?
I think because we're coming from a kind of cabaret discipline, Liv and I as performers.
Discipline is a very loose word.
We've kind of tried to use that as a way into the musical format. So it begins, it's got a kind of relationship with the fourth wall, where we begin with no fourth wall as we would with our usual shows, and we slowly kind of try and build one up. But being Bourgeois Maurice in the way that they kind of need an audience, they're not very good at keeping a fourth wall together, and they're not very good at keeping a narrative on the kind of straight and narrow. So it's kind of, I suppose there's a sort of meta quality to the musical in the way that we're kind of going at it.
Yeah, I think we're not kind of hiding the fact that we're creating a musical within it as the show goes on. So, yeah.
I think that there's the guys do a really interesting thing with this piece, is where they're kind of shopping, you know, from different genres. And I think that they're proper theatre, first and foremost, which is like very satisfying because there is kind of a rigorous backbone, I suppose, which is helpful. They're musical fanatics. And so, you know, any reference that, you know, you can give them, they can give you two back. But it's also kind of shopping from the drag world as well. And I think, and so, you know, Bourgeois and Maurice are proper underground stars, proper subversive, satirical, funny, smart, all of those things. And then this show, you know, something that we've really tried to stay true to is that taking the energy and the kind of DIY sparkle of the drag show and kind of painting that large on the home stage. And so I think how it differs is this kind of, you know, it has that fabulous, messy, chaotic quality that a drag show, because the whole thing is happening before your eyes at a drag show, right? The drag queen is, you know, she is choreographer and costume designer, and, you know, she's done her face and she's chosen all the songs. And there's just that sense of the satisfaction of watching somebody make something before your very eyes. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the spirit of Insane Animals. So I think that's probably the difference. But it has kind of rigor and deep musical knowledge at its core. So
I was going to say, to flip that coin, what it does have in common with like truly amazing musicals is, and like, and you two are so like discreet, you'll be blushing, but the music in this show is extraordinary. It is such a pleasure to sing these songs. They're so emotive.
They're not blushing, they're just smiling.
They're just smiling and nodding, actually.
Yes.
No,
but correct. The music is truly gorgeous. And all of the songs have such different characters. Like there are some that just are performed by Liv and George at like this phenomenal breakneck speed, and they're demanding. I think it's great because you two demand. You make sure your audience is listening to you, and like when you guys come along and see the show, like you'll experience that for yourself. And just moments where the lyrics and melodies like hit you right in the heart, and so it's wonderful that I don't think there really are that many musicals out there with the structure and format and feel of this show. But at the same time, you are coming to a musical, and it feels like it's both sides of the coin, like so many things in life.
We definitely we love to subvert, and we kind of wanted to approach this with the potential to slightly subvert what a musical can be, but also be really respectful to what a musical is. We both really do love musical theatre, so we're not coming at it from any kind of tongue-in-cheek attitude. Like,
no.
We want it to hold up as a musical.
Yeah, in lots of ways I think it is just a musical.
Yeah.
It seems like a musical to me.
Brilliant. Yeah, lovely. As I mentioned previously, this show was born out of the Home T1 Commission, which is about giving brilliant artists a bigger canvas to sort of splatter themselves all over. But everyone has to start somewhere. So where was that somewhere for all of you? What was the first thing that you ever worked on, and how did it propel you to where you are today?
Well, the first thing Bourgeois Maurice ever did was a show... Madame Cho Cho's in London, 2007?
Yeah.
And we had no idea what we were doing.
No.
We just wrote some songs. George had just booked a slot in an open mic night, and I was like, oh, I hate my job and my life. Can I come and do it with you?
And the only reason I booked that slot was because I'd lied to someone and said I was a performer, which I wasn't. I'd met a guy in a club, and he said, oh, can I take your photograph? What do you do? And I thought he was really glamorous and cool. So I said, I'm a cabaret performer. And I wasn't. I worked in an office doing filing. And he said, oh, can I come and photograph one of your gigs? And then I was like, yeah, sure. And then quickly went and emailed a friend who I knew did like an open mic. And I was like, I need to come and do a gig because I've told someone that I'm a performer.
I would love to see you put that on an Arts Council application.
I know.
What is your reason for putting on this show? Told man in club.
Lied to person.
I think it's very Bourgeois Maurice. Yours was born out of lying and mine was born out of like dissatisfaction and bitterness. And I think you can tell.
Those are the characters we have on stage. Yeah. But I do think that lying works as a kind of career strategy. Just say you're going to do something and then carry on with it.
There's a nice little story here. I'm from Sydney and I've lived in the UK for almost 15 years, but as 18 or 19, I worked with the Australian Theatre for Young People. And that was my first time sort of working in and it did feel quite, it felt professional. It was really classy, it was cool. And there was a young Irishman who was sort of living in Sydney at the time and who was in Australian Theatre for Young People as well whilst he was living in Sydney. And that's Philly sitting right here. It's Philip McMahon. And so, like, we've been mates for 20 years. And so for me to be, and funnily enough, you're talking about your first shows, Liv and George. I remember a friend of mine said, oh, let's go and see this show. And it was on Wardour Street in London. It must have been at least 10 years ago. And it was underneath a shop on Wardour Street. And it was you two. And I remember being mesmerized at the time and thinking, what the hell is going on here?
Was that one where you had to sit on the floor?
Yes.
That was that one that we did after Edinburgh with Scotty. And it was...
It was downstairs. It was underneath the shop.
I don't think we can say what it was called.
I feel like I saw you guys at the start of your careers, and also like being with Philly at the Australian Theatre for Young People 20 years ago at the start of his as well. And Philly's now just tearing it up left, right and centre all over the place as a director and a creator and writer. And so, yes, I'm very proud of everyone.
For me, I did you actually answer the question there?
What?
Did you answer the question?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
What do you mean? Gee, I said a lot of words, but that, yeah, I often talk and on a journey. I often talk with absolutely no substance whatsoever.
Yeah, I've just worked in, well, I've been involved with theatre since I was a teenager, and I live in Ireland, and I was involved in youth theatre there, National Youth Theatre there, Australian Theatre for Young People in Australia, and then around 2006, I started to make my own shows, largely about rave culture, about queer culture, about young people, you know, nights out and all of that. And we kind of extended that and created kind of performance stages at music festivals. And one of those was at Electric Picnic in Ireland. And we presented Liv and George, Bourgeois Maurice. When? What year was that? 2010?
It was
It was pretty early.
Queer Notions,
Queer Notions was first in Dublin. So we kind of worked together first 10 years ago, and then have presented you a couple of times in Dublin. So really nice to be on this gig with Lockie, with old pals, you know. And so, and because that kind of family vibe that already exists between us, you know, the kind of newer members of the company that have come in, it's kind of amazing to watch how quickly everybody's kind of bonded into this very close-knit family, which feels very important for this type of show, which is an ensemble. Pass me the ukulele while I pass you the pride flag. And, you know, we're running around and now 5, 6, 7, 8, I'm on. Yeah.
Brilliant. So following on from some of the things you guys have been talking about, I wanted to ask you about advice that you can give to our listeners, particularly people who are looking to sort of scale up or take a bit of a brave leap forward in their career. So obviously we've had Barefaced Lying, and Unrepeatable Names as some bits of advice, but what else would you suggest?
Not to just like keep promoting lying, but like, but just do it, just do it. Just like, if you overthink it, if you want to like take a next step, then I certainly find I scare myself if I overthink things too much. If I just say, I'm going to do that, and then do it, then you figure it out along the way.
Yeah, don't think of like the ultimate end goal, just do the little steps on the way there, I think, because otherwise the end goal is a bit intimidating.
I am, until quite recently, I sang in a band that was, you know, it was quite successful, and I'd been in the band for 9 years, and, you know, I've got gold and platinum discs on the walls at home, and it was, you know, it was a great time, but I knew I had to leave the band because I just feel my best memories had already been made, and I wanted to act again, and I wanted to go out as a solo singer. And it took me about a year of going, what do I do? And it's like, ultimately, do it or don't do it. I mean, it's a very simple choice. And look, if you know you've got to do something, you just got to go and do it. And sometimes that can be confronting and painful experience, but you've got to do it. And then just surround yourself with like-minded people. Surround yourself with people you like. I always found that's a really practical thing you can do, instead of like, keep on dreaming. It's like, I don't know how to keep on dreaming, because sometimes you've got to wake up. But yeah, just surround yourself with good people. They'll keep an eye on you.
Are there any stories that you can tell us from the Insane Animals rehearsal room?
Look, the only story that I can think that, you know, is the end of the first week of rehearsals. You know, you get a new company together. Are they going to gel? What's the dynamic going to be or whatever? But there's just this massive love in that spilled from the rehearsal room down Canal Street as everybody lived there. You know, late 90s, queer as folk fantasy together. There was karaoke, there was dancing, and so it kind of gave us a good bedrock for a massive love in the rehearsal room. So that's the story you're getting.
And it ends there.
But we're working hard. Like, it is a big show. It's a busy show. It's all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
And like, fair credit to you guys and to Philly, like, it's all been put together so beautifully. Like, you know, when you cast something, and even the whole creative team, you're right, Philly, everyone's having a complete loving, but we're working our butts off as well. And the show's going to be like completely fabulous. So it's nice just all being 14 people in a room, all connected by the same thing, and you asked if we were allowed to swear, and I'm going to, a fucking great show for Home here in Manchester.
I think you just got some amazing people from very different worlds in the room, which is very satisfying. You know, Bourgeois Maurice are from the cabaret world. You've got Victoria, our musical director, who's nominated for a Sydney Theatre Award for her musical direction on Once. Just heavy-hitting musical chops. You've got Julian, our costume designer, who's, you know, designs for loads of amazing underground people, including Crystal off Drag Race UK. And you just have these people from different worlds coming together and figuring out how to make this show together, which feels quite special, which feels pretty unique, you know? So the great thing is, you know, about Bourgeois Maurice taking this kind of, I suppose, step to this bigger stage, is the great thing about these moments is you get to take people with you, you know? And so the costume designer that they've always worked with is the costume designer they've worked with.
Yeah.
And so it's really nice to kind of, you know, we talk about it a lot, but the idea around building a family or building a company that really feel like they are supporting each other and, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. When we got the commission, and we'd never worked with a director before, so the first question was, who do you want to direct it? And
Tiffany wasn't available.
And yeah, and sadly he wasn't. So we kind of, we ran really through our phone book, and eventually we saw this guy, Philly, and we were like, oh, do you remember Philly? No, Philly was the first person we thought about, because for that reason, it's just like, he's brilliant, and he gets queerness and subversion and kind of play, but also, like, I remember the first time we went to Dublin, being kind of blown away by the just production values and attention to detail and slickness of everything that This Is Pop Baby were doing, that he was doing with them. So he was the first choice. And we've said routinely during this process, oh my God, Philly is one of the best decisions we've ever made.
Oh. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Lovely. So who should be coming to see Insane Animals?
Everybody.
Yeah, true. Everyone. I feel this show will have so much appeal to so many people. I mean, anyone who like loves a show, like we were saying before, from the complete production value of the show to like, God, I'm walking around Manchester just seeing like the vibrancy and the diversity in this city. Like, I live in London and I'm having the best time living in Manchester, and we walk around everywhere and living in the Northern Quarter, and there's just so much vibrancy and diversity in this city. And I'm just looking at like, just these really genuinely cool, effortless, engaged young generation. It's like, yeah, I think they'll be having a ball.
Yeah, I think you would buy a ticket for the set and costumes to this show on its own. I think it's full glitz, glamour, showbiz, drag, eleganza. And then there is a full on, you know, amazing narrative. The songs are unreal. It's so, you know, you're going to get all pockets. My mother would love it. And I know, you know, the crazy art students would love it. And the drag fans would love it, and the musical fans. You know, of course we're going to say everyone, but like everyone.
Brilliant. So everyone's favourite final question. Can you describe the show in three words?
I don't think so.
That's four words.
Not right now.
Oh, yeah. Camp. Camp deathy fun.
Camp deathy fun.
Put it on a poster, sell those tickets.
Bold, brash, brassy. Well, that one went down really well, didn't it? Like, just cute. No, just run the music. Like, roll credits, babe.
Sorry,
roll your credits.
We're still typing Liv's one. We didn't.
Amazing. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us. And I will let you get back to your rehearsal room. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us, and thank you to George, Liv, Philly and Lockie. We'll be posting out more podcast episodes in the near future, so expect to hear from us about once every couple of months, just to begin with. And of course, come and see Insane Animals here at home from the 28th of February until the 14th of March. You can book online at our website at homemcr.org or give our box office a call. All information is available in the podcast description and on our website. Thanks for listening.